If you've listened to any news lately or seen any on television, there's quite a few things that's been said in relation to the Bible and what the Bible says, and I guess what it boils down to is how serious we should take it. And, you know, when I went away from that thinking upon the things of the Bible, and, you know, it's not, the Bible's not open for me and you to choose whether we accept it or not, and that make a difference in the eyes of God. God sent it. He wants us to accept it. He wants us to love it. But it's not dependent upon whether we approve of it is what God's going to do with it. God's told us what the facts are. He's told us what the determination is going to be if we don't come to it. And me or you, it's either bow before the all-wise God and accept His word, or for all of eternity pray that God would find mercy to pull us out of the place that we have chosen by our decision to go to. And, you know, but I find, according to God's word, once we go into that place of torment, you never come out. Just like once we go into heaven, we will never come out. And who would want to? And if you would like to read with us, I want you to pay attention to this. I realize this day and time, this is something that's hard to believe. But the thought that come to my mind, do you believe these things? And the one that, oh, the Bible is full of things that we must believe, we must accept. But one of the most important, right in the very first chapter of Matthew. And we're going to start reading at the 21st verse. And listen to this. This is the angel of God speaking unto Joseph, because Joseph had concerns about Mary being with child, and he knew he hadn't been with her. So Joseph was thinking, as a human would think, what man has she been with? And an angel come to let Joseph know that Mary had done nothing unfaithful to Joseph. And here in this 21st verse, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And you'll find that in Isaiah, the 7th chapter and the 14th verse. And if I ain't mistaken, according to my Bible, something like 742 years before this. God predicted it. So Christ, when he was born of a virgin, and you'll find that Joseph, he went on down to, well, let's just read the last of that. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Now here, as Joseph believed the angel and what the angel said, that Christ would be born of a virgin. But then Joseph, he took her to be his wife. But he honored that word that the angel said. And he didn't lay hands upon her. as a man would his wife, unto Antichrist the more wife. The man become married unto Joseph, this child was still born of a virgin. Never in love with a man, as a man done with a woman. God's word being fulfilled, and you and I today, can we believe these things? Is it important to us? Can you accept something like that? That's something that we can really believe. If we can't believe that, then we have no salvation. We are offered up to us. Why before? If Christ wasn't born of a virgin, then he wasn't the Son of God. And we're still in our sin. But I thank God. God's word was true. And he got the very way that God said that he would. And you'll find today people, they have a hard time believing that the account of creation in Genesis is true, because they cannot believe that what is so important unto man today, what is driving our economy, oil and how long it takes it to form in the ground, they can't begin to understand how that could all come about in such a short time, how it takes so long for diamonds to form in the ground. They don't know how that it could come about. If what God says there, if Genesis really happened, when did it happen? But the thing that overlooked, when did God created this earth? It ain't an old tree, just like the one standing here beside the church. It takes an old tree a long time to get a great big tree, one that you can't reach around. But God, when he created this earth, they were full grown old, already cast in their seed. When he called that first season, why? God spoke of it in existence. It didn't start as just a little seed, a seed coming forth from the ground, but it was a tree. Just like Adam didn't start as all after him did, but Adam was a full grown man. Eve was a full grown woman. You and I today, God, when he spoke things into existence the way that he did there in Genesis, it really happened. And if we can't believe that, then we are missing the wonders and the glory of really serving the true and the living God. And knowing that all things are possible with his hands. You and I, we can look and see that when there's a mountain standing in front of us, or when there's something that we need to come forth to supply our need that looks impossible, we can remember back, God in 6 days created everything that we see. And that's not 6,000 years. That's not 6 million years. But that's 6 24-hour days. Why? You'll find there it says is the beginning of the 6 day or the whatever, and it goes on down through, and it tells what he does that day and the end of it. And then you'll find that he had created light, the sun the light the day, and the moon the night, and all of these things. It wasn't in some far off distant place, but it was this world right here, and God placed it in bed, already rotating up on its axis when he created it and spoke it into existence, just the same distance from the sun as we are today, so that life might be sustained here. You and I, we can believe it, or we can say it's impossible, but when we stand before God, we have to give an account. How can we say we're one of his children when we don't believe the word? that he sent unto us. And you'll find we've got a lot of people today that don't want to believe the things in the Bible that they're true. But you'll find back there in the Old Testament, in the books of Moses, all of the things that's happened there. You know, we've got quite a bit of history that's got records that bear out the children of Israel being enslaved in Egypt. They bear out them coming out and being delivered. All of these things. It's something also they can't dispute. There's things in the Bible that God recorded that man has been able to go back and investigate and find out it really happened. It was really there. And yet people today, they don't want to believe, but God recorded His Word and give it to us that we might know. And the law that He gave Moses there was to sit down and to teach people just what God requires and how that they're to live and how. And He told the children of Israel there for them to teach their children, to keep it before them at all times. You and I today in America, that's why we see our nation in the shape it's in today. Why nobody should have in total the things of God, that God's law we do not violate without suffering a consequence. When God said it was abomination, it was a sin, you and I today, we're not going to change the mind of God. He still looks upon it the same way. And each and every one of us, we need to realize that the Word of God is true. Now coming into the New Testament here, Christ being born of a virgin like God had predicted back in the Old Testament in the prophet. And then you see Christ's life and how that He lived. And you'll find that Christ, the miracles He performed. Today people, they're not willing to believe them. They think it was just something that was said to encourage people, but it really didn't happen. Me, I believe the woman that was coming under Christ because the doctors couldn't heal her of the issue of blood that she had. But when she come under Christ, she didn't say, if I can get Him, in my case, I believe I can be made whole. I think she was ashamed to confess that what her problem was openly before all that crowd. She come and said, if I can but touch His garment, I'll be made whole. Christ walking in a crowd, people bubbling, all they want to stop is ready to touch me. Why the God? There was a difference there. Somebody come with me, believing in me and something of God. And it didn't say that she received it after Christ took nothing. She received it when she touched me, because she touched Him with me. Lord, He was not another man. He was special. He was a son of God. And when she touched Him, she received. And Christ let them all know that somebody had received something because of the way they came. Christ could have told them exactly who it was. He wanted her to say who it was. And she admitted that what her need was. All the other people had been touching Him, was getting nothing from Him because they wasn't desiring. You and I today, here in America, we have a chance and an opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. But yeah, so many people choose not to. Why? because it is old-fashioned. Or as you'll hear people talk about, the Christian right, they're weak-minded, they haven't got good sin, they're uneducated, but outside the court of the Bible, God looks down and when he sees somebody that recognizes that he's God and desires to worship him and live for it, God looks down and says, there's a bright person. Why? Because they see what's important. They realize what is needed in their country today. If people would change hearts and minds, then we might value love and not throw it away. Then we might see the need of living a spirit-filled Christian life, even in this hour, in the day in which we live. You'll find also, I believe, the woman that come to Christ with the withered hand, when he stretched it forth to Christ, in obedience unto what Christ said, it was made whole. I believe the one that laid, waiting to get in the pool, when the angel troubled the water, when Christ woke up and talked to him, and told him, take up your bed and walk. I believe it happened. Why? Because Christ said so. Christ did it. He was more than any other man that ever lived before that or ever had sinned. And you and I, if we can't believe these things, there is no way we have a right to call ourselves a Christian. If we cannot believe the acts and the works that Christ did as no other man ever did, then how can we say we're a Christian? Because if we're a Christian, we believe what Christ did. If we're a Christian, we should be striving to be as he was. That is a Christian. That's why they were called Christian first, because their desire was to be Christ-like. You and I today, we need to come to the things of the Bible and not try and excuse it to please man, but tell it like it is. You know, I could be here for days preaching on all the things that Christ did. The miracles that he performed. The teachings that he gave. And you know, you'll hear people make comments about, well, one made a comment about the Sermon on the Mount, how radical it was. If we can't believe in Christ's teaching and accept it, why do we kid ourselves and say, I've been a Christian for so many years. I've attended such and such a church. I've been a member of such and such a church for so many years. We might have been a member of the church, but we deny the very words that Christ spoke. We're not a member of the family of God. That's what makes us a Christian or not. And you and I, we need to come back and realize God's word is going to come true just the way that he said. You'll find Christ, because of all that he done, of all that he taught, of the stand that he took, his own nation, because he would not be a king unto them the way they wanted him to be a king, they decided to crucify. And you'll find that Pilate, there as he sat on the judgment seat, he was saying to Christ, I'm the one that can spare your life or I can crucify you. Christ let him know, except the Heavenly Father give you the power, you can do nothing. Christ come for this purpose and he knew that it must be. There in the garden the night before as he prayed, he knew everything he would have to face. Unlike me or you, if we go before a judge, we don't know what the outcome's going to be. Christ knew already why. Because He was there with the Father at the foundation of the earth. When God said, let us make man, they already knew what it was going to cost on to redeem man from his fallen state. And Christ knew it all was willing to come and do the will of the Father. And you'll find there, and Pilate turned him over to be crucified. Christ went and willingly laid down his life. He said, nobody takes it, but I'll give it willingly. They didn't have to die to the cross before nailing his hair. He laid down his hand. They're stretched around. The realm mold is grown. And it will be a tremor to the tree. Why do I go? My sin and your sin. What Paul was nailing his hair. Willing to die, that we might be forgiven. That we all share it done. And we're dead. He didn't stay dead. But in 3 days, just as He said, He gave more victory to give me victory and you victory. And would have believed me and put our faith and trust in Him. In each and every one of us, God has not changed. And He is not going to. Me and you must be the ones that change. And we must believe the Word of God. Just what it said. You know, Christ came for a purpose and He fulfilled that purpose. And if I do not accept the Word of God from where in Genesis 1 it says in the beginning to Revelations where it finishes is saying amen. If I don't believe everything in between that, none of it does me any good. I don't get to pick and choose. It's all the Word of God. The Old Testament, we might not like some of it, but it was sent for a purpose, inspired by God, speaking to men for them to write down what God wanted. And you know how I know that's so? Because in reading it, if you read it, you know, I heard a man say that people needed to read the Bible because a lot of people don't understand. And I was thinking, he don't understand it himself. Things he said, he don't understand it. Because if you sit and you read the Bible as being the Word of God and let it speak to you, it's the most beautiful book of any you will ever read. There is none to compare with it. The Bible is the sweetest book I've ever read. You know, we can speak on just how wonderful it is. All the miracles that God done for the people in the Old Testament, how He delivered, how He brought them forth, how He proved Himself time and time and time again. From down to people that were so small, they were just shepherds. David wasn't a king yet, but God was speaking to him as a shepherd and teaching him. Up to men that was in great authority and how God told them what to do. Look there, as an army went out to face the enemy, and God said, you got too many people. You got too many soldiers. Though he was smaller than the enemy, God said, you have too many. You go out with this many, they'll think it was your delivery come by your might. And he kept sending them home. He come down to, looked like as a small group, God said, you still got too many. Take them down to the water, and I'll separate them for you. He said, all those dip the water up into their hand and lap it like a dog as they're watching for the enemy. That's what you take in the battle. The rest of them you see at home. He comes out with 300 men. Or 300 some few. I forget exactly what the number is, but just a handful. But he got the victory. Why? He put his faith in trusting God instead of the power of man. You and I today, does that God still live? I believe he does. The God that healed there as he walked upon the earth, does he still live? I believe he does. I'm telling you, you know, as I was sitting here thinking of this message and all of the things that was coming to my mind on it, I thought, boy, you could title this, What Obama Don't Believe. Because these things he don't find important. He don't find that it's true. But yeah, he says he's a Christian. How can we deny the very foundation that we stand upon as a Christian and still say that we're a Christian? That's like a man walking out in the middle of the ocean and say, I'm standing on the same foundation as the Statue of Liberty. Well, let everybody pull away and see how long you stand there. You will see why. And not on that same wrong, but you and I say, God, when we come back and we stand upon the Word of God and we say, God's Word is true, I'm going to stand upon it. The homosexuals might leave you, the abortion people might leave you, but you're not alone. You still got God there with you. So they all forsake you. I'd rather be standing with me and God alone than to have the whole world on my side. Why is you gay? The whole world and lose your soul. What does it promise you when we stand before God? And he looks and smiles and says, Father, this one is mine. Oh, what a joyous day for you and I. We profit nothing if the whole world praises us and God says, I don't know you. You're not one of my children. You know, each and every one of us, we need to come back and realize God's Word is something we need to read. We need to study, and I think America needs it more today than they ever have before. We need to get our blinded eyes open. We need to realize that God is the one that gives life. And God's the only one that has the right to take it. The doctor, because you're in a little bit of pain, don't have a right to help you kill yourself. You don't even have a right, no matter what you're suffering, to take your own life. That's not your right. You know, who knows? I have seen people that was spitting up pieces of their lung, dying with cancer, that God healed. And they lived for 15 years and didn't die of cancer. Me and you, we don't know what tomorrow holds. If we'll turn our life over to God, it can be glorious. And each and every one of us, you know, in America, all of the little babies that's been aborted, all the blood from all those children, it would make a great big pond, maybe even a river. Of all the time that they've been destroying the lives of the innocent children. But America thinks that's fine. You and I today, God is going to hold us guilty of all that we tolerate and all that we allow. You know, I will not vote for anybody that upholds for abortion. Because if I do, I become a partaker. And it's time for us to realize that. The final thing I want to point out, I know that people think that this world is just going to go on and on and on. But Christ said, if I go away, and he did. But he said, if I go away, so that was letting me and you know that when it happens, what he says next is going to come to be just the same as him going away. He said, I will come again. And all of those that believe him, accept him as their Lord and Savior, he said he was coming to receive you unto me, that where I am, there you may be also. Not those that claim something and don't possess it, but those that possess salvation with them. And each and every one of us, salvation can be obtained today in this hour in which we live. Can you believe these things? You know, I love that song at Christmas time where it talks about that. Can you believe it? Talking about the Christmas story and born of a virgin. Can you really believe that? Can you accept that? You know, I don't know what it was like to have been a shepherd there on that hill when the angels come telling them. I don't know what it would have been like to been one of those wise men when they told them about it and they went following the star, coming to see. I don't know what it would have been like to been the innkeeper that let them be in that stable that night, seeing all the traffic going to the stable. I don't know what that would have been like. But God let me know that there was coming a time when he's coming back that I can see. That I can see. Make no difference if I'm dead and been buried for a long time. When he speaks, he said, I will come forth and I'll go to meet him. Each and every one of us, God has put it within reach. Don't let the devil deceive you into thinking that times have changed, that it's not necessary, or that it's no longer true. Truth does not change, no matter how many years pass by. You know, it's a strange thing. Any of you that's ever done much studying of history, do you remember when Isaac Newton, in studying, discovered gravity? I wonder how many other people have seen an apple fall off a tree or something like that, but he was the first one who wrote it down. He discovered something brand new. The gravity. Things go to the ground when you drop them. I would be surprised if old Adam and Eve hadn't figured that now. They just didn't know to call it gravity. Probably if they stumped their toe, tripped in a vine, they found out you don't float, you fall to the ground. Man is always liking to find out something new, but do you realize gravity still exists and it hasn't changed? It's still, anytime you turn loose of something, it goes to the ground. It falls. Well, the laws of God do not change. The only time it's ever going to change is when the power of God comes back to get his chosen ones. Then we're going to fly. Just like this tie that I'm wearing today. Mount up with wings as eagles. I've watched the birds fly. For some reason this year we've had martins there at the house. They left. The last time I've seen any was Friday evening. I think that's what, 29th of August. Never seen them that late here.
But oh, how I like to watch them birds, how they'll sail on the air. Make flies so easy, almost tempt you to climb a windmill and just stick out your hands and jump off, because they make it look like anybody could do it. But I've got enough sense to know I've jumped off a little low thing to figure it out. That don't apply to me. But there's coming a time when God said, I can mount up wings as eagle. I'll know then what it's like to fly. But you know the thing about it? I won't be thinking of flying. I'll be having my eyes upon the Son of God, the one that's coming to get me. For all of eternity, I could be enjoying flying if I want to then. But at that time, all of my concentration is going to be upon the Son of God, the one that made the difference in my life. I beg each and every one of you, testify of God to whoever, how real that He is. That His plan of salvation has not changed. God has not decided that was a vile sin is no longer sin. Look in the Bible. Adultery, God called sin. It still is. Man might not recognize it, but it still is. Homosexuality, we give it a better name. You know, we call it things, alternate lifestyle and all this. But it still boils down to what God said in the Bible was an abomination. We have one that's even fighting a publishing company that publishes Bibles, suing them to take that out of the Bible because it offends him. Rather than come to the Word of God, change it because it offends me. Makes no difference. If they end up giving in to that and take it out, God's Word will not change. It will still be the same. That man, when he stands before God, will find that it's still the same. The Bible teaches us that ever crossing of a T and dotting of I, we're going to be held accountable of. And our politician can not like a chapter and think that it's stupid or radical. Well, if we disagree with it and we speak out against it, the same as if we just threw it away. And you'll find in Revelations, he said, if you take it out, I'll take your part out. So don't claim to be something that we're not. Either treasure the Word of God and live by it and be His children, or say, I am my own God, I'm going to worship what I want, and I'm going to be what I want to be, and when my life is over, I'll give an account before the true and living God and see how I stand. And if you'll be honest, God's Word will tell you how you stand right now. While we get some song to sing, if for somebody that you know that maybe is having a hard time believing the Word of God, take the time to read it to them. Take the time to sit down in love and show them what kind of a loving God we have and that we have today. That would take all of the effort that God took to warn men. You know, the biggest majority of the Bible is given as a warning to man of what happens if we disobey. You know, you'll find God, He's got a lot of promises in there. But then He's also got a lot of pronouncements upon man if we don't obey what God asks. So, you and I, a lot of people, they want to take hold of the promises, but they just don't want to listen to that part where God says, but if you don't, this is what happens. But do you realize that our warnings and condemnation to us is just as true as those blessings? And the blessings are always given because of obedience. And the cursings are also given because of disobedience. So each one of you, please, speak to those that are lost. Let the world see that God's not changed. His blood is still sufficient for those that will believe. While we sing, if you can believe these things, let people know that you do. Live your life to where it shows that you do. Thank you.